It's been a privilege here to be part of Hills. Thank you for the opportunity. To start off with, I come from South India. I grew up in a family where my mom comes from a Catholic background and dad comes from a Hindu family. You know, so technically we didn't know Jesus. So everything was fine till like one particular day when my dad walked up and he said he lost his job. So that was when one crucial moment, you know, because he was in his prime, because he's a jockey, so he was a horse rider, and you know, it's a pretty good money making sport. And so we had equal commitments in the family. We were just buying a house, and I just completed my high school. I was just about to step into my uni. So technically, back in India, so any engineering degree is as very expensive as like the medical, you know. But you know, so right when he came in and he said that it's gone, you know, we didn't know how to react, and everything was shattered. Like it was an absolute disaster. So. So I didn't know what to do, and things started to aggravate, and you know, it's create a lot of tension within the family. Like my mom and dad, and like they had the fights. You know, like there was absolutely no peace in the family. So I didn't know what to do. But one of my aunt, she was a believer, so she went to a Pentecostal church, and she walked up to me the very next day, and she said, you know, the way things are going in the family, it doesn't look good. I think you should take an initiative. I asked her, like, what initiative? I can't just go and work because I just finished my high school and no one is going to pay me so much of money to take care of my commitments and my family's commitments. And she said, nah, all you have to do is pray. And I didn't know, I mean, what pray, you know? She said, nah, I was a bit of a dumb kid, so she, you know, she took me, okay, I'll just get ready tomorrow, I'll take you to the church, you know? Then, so right when I stepped into the church, it was a Pentecostal church and everyone, like, it's, as usual, I was 10 minutes late to the worship. So when I went, the people started the worship and they were like shouting hallelujah and screaming. Like I the only church I've been to back then was the Catholic church, you know, where people just quiet, and even if you put a bottle down, you know, it'll like be too loud. And so I went in and like I started looking what these guys are up to. Then I went inside. I was one such kind of a kid where I get stressed for everything. You know, like I had so much of fear, though I was a soccer player, but I had fear for everything. Like you name it, I was scared for everything. And the situation, you know, the way things were going in the family didn't look all right at all. So the first time, you know, I was sitting in the sermon and the pastor, he preached, and the first word he said was just blew my mind, like the first word. So he said, I'll just quickly take it. Sorry, guys. So this was from Psalms 40, chapter 40, verse 2. He said, he lifted me up out of the smelly pit and out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. That was the word. And I felt someone was talking to me, like, talking to me, because I was pretty short then. I'm still short, but I was very short in my high school. So they made me stand sit in the first row along with the other kids. So I was sitting right there, and he said this. And then I felt like someone spoke to me. Then I said, God, if this is you, lift me up. That was the first ever prayer I prayed. So the very next day, a week later, since the way the financial situation was like horrible in the family, so I couldn't progress with my uni. So I was just stuck in my high school, so things were getting out of hand. And so I got a call from a university which I applied like some months ago. They said, you've been shortlisted for the interview. Then I said, okay, fine, sounds good. But I went and told my mom that I've got shortlisted in an for an interview in a particular course. And she said, even if you get selected, we wouldn't be able to afford that price, you know, like the fees. And I said, okay, let's go. We'll see what happens. And I just went to the interview. Everything was sorted. And so the best thing about the interview was they gave me the seat, exactly the seat which I wanted to study, mechanical engineering. And they said, we will give you a scholarship for the 4 years. So that's something I never asked for. And I didn't even pray for that, because I know that's technically impossible to happen. And he said that I didn't listen to that properly, and you know, I was like, what do you mean, scholarship? What scholarship? He said, yeah, we will sponsor all the 4 years of your studies. Then I was like, then it felt like a dream for me because, you know, it's very supernatural. Then I came out of the office room and I was talking to my mom. Then I looked at, we both like looked at each other and I said, if this is not God, what is this? You know? And she was like, yes. So that's my first point of the evening. Our God is a supernatural God. Yeah. Yeah. So that's how it started. So then finished my uni. I got saved during that time frame, you know. Then the first, yeah, so I got saved and a man of God prophesied over me saying that, you know, Manu, God is taking you to a Christian nation where you'll find stars on the flag. Yeah, and he said God will use you mightily for his kingdom and he will use you to bring the nations together. And I feel like it took 8 years for the prophecy to come true. You know, I'm here standing in front of you, sharing the word of God. You know, just amazing. But after I finished my uni, so I was about to go to do my master's in Germany. So that's where all the mechanical engineers go. So I got my seat sorted. I did my level one German. Everything got sorted. And I applied everything. Then again, I got a call. That's the second best call of my life. Call from my uncle, who is in New Zealand. And he said, yeah, so what's happening with your studies and X, Y, Z? I said, yeah, it's good. I'm going to Germany for my master's. He said, why don't you try New Zealand? Then I said, let's see. Then somehow he convinced my mom. Then mom said, yeah, why don't you try in New Zealand? And you can't. So Indian parents, you know, like when your mom says, it says. That's all. That's how it is. So, yeah. Oh, is it here too? Yeah. So she already prepared everything, so it means it's sorted. So I said, that's the fees you pay, and that's how you do, and you're going to stay in your uncle's place. So then I knew, okay, this is a prophecy which is coming true. Then, before that, I was I pretty close with my pastor back home as well. So I asked him to pray. Then he gave me a word that was from Deuteronomy 8, verse 7. So for the Lord your God is bringing you to a good land, a land with brooks, stream, and deep spring gushing out into the valleys and hills. A land with wheat and barley, vines and figs, deep pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. This was absolutely true because right when I landed in New Zealand, my auntie took her to a house and she gave me chicken biryani and butter chicken, straight up. So it was like chicken biryani, you name it, we had everything. Then I said, hallelujah. Because, I mean, being a South Indian, two things. One, you play cricket really well. Second thing is, you love food. I love food. So, yeah, that's how it started. God gave me a good job. Like, you know, I was a student, so I got a part-time role. And, I started in telesales. So I worked for Slingshot for a while. They paid me well, but it's a stressful job. I don't know if anyone had worked in sales before. It's stressful. Yeah, so I don't know, I was just getting along, but I always used to ask God, I'm supposed to be an engineer. God, how long? Because 6 months went, 1 year, 1.5 years, I was like gone. I mean, I applied all sorts of jobs, like engineering jobs. Everything got rejected because the only thing they mentioned was I didn't have enough engineering experience in New Zealand. So I didn't know what to do, you know. I was just so frustrated, and I used to ask God, have you forgotten me? I think everyone would have gone through this, you know, like it's 1.5 years, a big time, you know, just doing the same thing, calling the same customer, signing them up, you know, but so I was just lost. So again, you know, I have this habit of praying when I walk. So I didn't have a car back then, so I used to board the bus. So I walked to the bus station and I prayed, God, not anymore. I think I can't handle it. Then I got another call, third best call of my life. That's from my friend. She called and she said, Manu, do you know any mechanical engineers who are looking for a job? Then I was like, that's me. Oh, yes, I didn't say that it was me, but she said, why don't you send their resume? Then I sent my resume. She was like, that's your resume. I said, that's me. That's the friend. Then she said, okay, you shitty guy. Then she said, okay, fine. So she referred me, then I got into the job. And so then I was very happy, you know, very decent pay, but I got a breakthrough. You know, I thank God for it. But what I took from this is, you know, but if just in case if you're going through a rough patch, maybe like praying for something for a year, year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, but all I would encourage everyone is God hasn't forgotten you. Yeah. Yeah? Amen. So God hasn't forgotten you, and when he promised something, he's going to make it. Yeah, because for me, I had to wait like a year and a half, but probably people might have been waiting for 5 years, 10 years, you name it. But he has his own sweet timing to get things done. You know, that's what I felt. And yeah, that was a good turn. So I started as a quality technician in a steel industry. So that was a good job, a lot of learning. But again, after 3 months, I got another call, fourth best call of my life from a plastic industry. You wouldn't believe me, I did my mechanical engineering specializing in plastics. Okay, so this lady from nowhere called me, that's after 3 months, and she offered me a role which I would never say no to it, because that had a very attractive package, and it was a desk job, you know, it's like design and stuff. Then I said, yes. Then she called me for an interview. That was an actual interview. So I suited up everything, you know, I just went to the interview, they gave me a coffee, they sent me back home. So that was like less than 5 minutes chat, and evening they sent me the contract. So that's, I never had to prove myself, you know, everything. Then she asked me the question, so do you even know that why you got hired? And I said, I don't know. So she said, one thing is your profile suits well, but next thing is you're working for the same parent company. I didn't even realize that. So I went to the interview, but it falls under the same group of companies. So the chat was between the general manager, and they just moved to the other company. And that's how I started the new role. That was not in my list, so I never prayed for it. So that was not in my list. Then I was thanking God, yes, God, you're amazing, God, you know, just super cool. And then I asked, like, God, I mean, you brought me here for a reason. Like, you know, it wouldn't happen just like that. The first day of my work, so I was offered drinks. You're like, it's a work drinks. And I said, no, I don't drink. In a very polite way, you know. So, but he said, no, why not? Then I said, I mean, I have to tell them, you know, stating that I'm a part of a worship team in my other church, you know, and I prefer not to drink. You know, I was a bit hesitant. I wanted to say no on the face, but, you know, they are like the big bosses. And I said, oh, yeah, so I go to the church and things. And the first thing I got told off straight away. You know, they said, no one wants to hear your faith here. And I said, no one wants to hear Brother Jesus. That's what they said. You know, then it was quite embarrassing for me because everyone were around, you know. So after that, I didn't even open my mouth for like the next six months. I kept quiet. They used to call me out on Saturday evening and Sundays for like team outing and stuff. Now I always turn it down because I've got my church on Sunday. So things weren't like good at all, like, you know how it is. And one fine day, just after 6 months, so I walked up. So I had a chat, like I was just having a chat with my boss, and I knew something wasn't right in him, you know. So he looked very, very depressed. He was kind of a very lively person, but I saw he was very, very depressed. Then I came out of the room, then I prayed, God, what's happening? Then I went back in, so the Holy Spirit like gave me some confidence, you know. I just went back and asked him, hey, what's happening? You know, you don't look all right. And he said his daughter is not well. Like, you know, she's very sick in the States, and the doctor, the way they're saying, looks like he's going to lose her. You know, it's like very critical condition. She had some cardiac, some issues. I don't know what it is, so technical. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I didn't want to get told off again, you know, again sharing the word at like the wrong time. Then I said, oh, yeah, it's bad. Then I said, but don't worry, we'll pray for you. Then I said, like, yeah, we'll pray for you. Then I'll pray for you. So I was in a cabin, so I was standing on the door, like, you know, leaning on the door. I was like, don't worry, Graham, so we'll pray for you. Then I slowly, and then I don't worry, we got a church group, we'll pray for you. Then I moved here. Then I somehow, you know, I just wanted to make sure I don't get told off. So then I said, then he said, he started, like, he pretty much narrated the whole story, you know, what happened to her, you know. Then, but still, like, I didn't want to jump onto the gospel and start saying what Jesus did, but I said, now we've been through this situations, you know, God can turn things around. And so probably he was very depressed that he didn't want to hurt me because he was like too hurt already. So we came back. So I was I had the chat with Shika one day, and Shika and me, we prayed, like, we kept our church group, like, we kept on praying for it. And like a week, so he flew to States and he came back after 4 weeks. And so I didn't ask him anything. That was just before the Easter break. So So I didn't have the guts to ask what, because I know he looked very lively again. So very fresh, so I don't want to ask what happened. He walked up to me and said, "Mano, do you have a minute?" I said, yeah, why not, yeah. And he said, "Thank you for your praise." He's the same gentleman who told me off, like, not to share the word or not to share the gospel in the workplace. He said, "Thank you for your praise and for your church." Then I said, "Praise God." And he said, like, "I've never really had any good experience with Christians, but you're a good man." He said, I said, "Praise God for it," because maybe, then I told him, probably you didn't meet any good Christians, probably. So there are heaps. Then it was a bit of humor. Then he said, after that, the way he started treating me was different, like altogether. Because now that, so then we went for a team outing. So he usually organizes a team meeting on Saturday or Sunday. Yeah, but for me, like just because I wouldn't turn up on Saturday and Sunday, he organized something on a Friday. So we went out. So he dropped me back from home, and on like in the car. So he said, "I definitely believe there's a superpower working. Yeah, superpower like Jesus." And he started asking about what church you go to, and you know. But I was like a bit hesitant. Should I call him to the church or not? Nah, that would be too fast. But I am praying for his family. And the best part about this is, he brought. So he went to States, and looks like he met with an church minister there in the States, and he ended up praying for his daughter. And the very next day, the same doctors who said, "It's too critical, your daughter is very sick and we can't do much about it," the same doctor, they said, "Your daughter has miraculously healed." So this is, if this is not God, what it is? Because he knew it, because he himself experienced, because there are some bunch of people who was praying for his daughter other than his family, and this is supernatural. You know, but that's what I always tell, like, it's a word of encouragement for everyone. We try to restrict God in the boundary, you know. So for us, 2 + 2 = 2, but for God, 2 + 2 = millions, you know. That's what God, that's how God, you know, deals with it, because we try to restrict him, you know, probably if just in case we tried to solve a puzzle and we got stuck. And we think it's end of the world. But nah, it's just for you, not for God. That's what I experienced, because when the doctor said, end of story, Jesus gave another life, yeah, you know? It's awesome. So he came back again, he shared the testimony and X, Y, Z. So slowly I told him, yeah, I think, Graham, you should just come and visit our church once, you know? That's the next step I did. Again, I did the same thing, walked up to his cabin and like stood next to the door, and it's like, I'm pretty sure you've experienced God in your life. I think you should start, just have a visit to our church. Then I walked off. That's exactly just outside the door. Because he knew this was coming. I knew this would happen. One day I will call him to the church. He knew it. But I wanted to make sure, you know, yes, just God. Yeah, you can come to a church once. It's Hillsborough Road. Then I told him. So he said, he hasn't said yes to it. But the whole purpose of the fourth call, you know, from the HR to hiring me into the new company was this. That's when I realized it very, very late, like 8-9 months later. Because I was jumping in joy. Why would God give me a new position with a new salary, new hike, new position? Now, that's not for that, for this. So I praise God for that, and it's just been an amazing journey. And I'm just happy to share that again. He promoted me. Again, I got promoted a year later to a new role. That's because, again, that's not in my list. I never asked for it. The new manager, he flew to Australia. He migrated, like he went to a new place. So they just like promoted me and next level up. So again, it's not in my list. Probably there'll be a reason for that too, you know. Probably to say, yeah, it's God's plan. And it's been an amazing journey. I thought I'll just share one more like spiritual side of it. So I was the first one in my family to be saved. So I always felt kind of a responsibility to pray for my family. So, from my childhood, I always experienced, I could never sleep properly because I always had something in my dream disturbing me, like a black image, you know what it is. So this keeps coming, and I usually wake up from my dream and I get scared. So that's one of the reasons why I was scared for everything. Like, you know, I never had any proper sleep. But after getting saved and after like a good journey with God, so the same thing came up in my dream again. So the black image. So I wasn't good at my Bible. So I can't just speak the word and I can't rebuke it. I was a very average student in my school. So I can't just by heart things. But that moment, God gave me, put me the new words in my mouth, you know. And I started speaking in tongues in my dream. So that's the probably, I don't know if someone would have heard it, but I myself was like astonished, because the very next day when the pastor asked me, what happened in the night? I said, I rebuked a demon in Jesus' name. And how? What verse did you use? And I didn't use anything. I was talking something, but what? I was speaking in tongues. That's how I first started speaking in tongues. That was quite some time back. I know it's just an amazing thing what happened to me, because whenever people, I forget to tell this one, because I think this is very special, because talking in tongues is just an amazing gift. Because sometimes you'll be like so depressed and, you know, you wouldn't have words to speak, you know, like, but that time I always like walk around and speak in tongues, you know, that's just amazing, and it has a lot of power in it. That's exactly what I did when I was in the bus stop, you know. I was just praying in tongues and doing this, then I got a call. I mean, God has his own plans and purpose, but, you know, the faith is what you need. But for me, I always believed, yes, it's going to happen, but what Bethany said in the morning, it was an amazing service, but I think the best thing struck in my mind was what Bethany said during the worship: it is sorted. That's what I always feel, it's sorted. I mean, we stress about a lot of things, but it's not worth it. So, you know, you got the victory. And I just have to be like firm. When God is putting you through a rough patch, thank God for it, because he is making you strong, and it's from God. So the more struggle it is, greater the blessing. That's what I always felt. And thank you, Judy, again for this opportunity. Yeah, just lovely being part of Phil's. And thank you, guys. Thank you, Vital. Thank you for your prayers. And you, sorry, guys, one more minute. So right when Judy texted me that will you be able to speak on Sunday, I knew this testimony, like the prophecy 8 years back, was coming alive, you know. And so thank God for it. But very fifth minute, the text to Judy, I crashed my car. I crashed my car. That was like a horrible crash. Nothing happened to me. My car, I started crying, actually. It was a new car. And I couldn't take it. Yeah, then I felt sickly the very next day because I couldn't take it. So I took, it's fixed now. It's fixed, but praise God for it. So it reminds me of what Anil G spoke to me the other day. When there is an opportunity, there's an obstacle. Yeah, and you have to overcome it. So that's what I did. I was very sick, but I wanted to make sure, you know, it's all the struggles are for this. And I'm here. I think I was very nervous, but I don't think I look nervous now. it's beautiful. And I've got two best prophecies. One was, you know, sharing the word of God. And second one was when Dawn. I'm pretty sure everyone would have noticed, I usually stand at the back. All the service, I stand at the back and I finish, I run off. But this time, so when Don, like when he came for the first time, he called everyone in the front, but I was a bit hesitant because it was too crowded, so I stood at the back. And the best thing happened to me was he walked up all the way to me and he said, there'll be a revival in this nation. And this church will be, this church will play a vital role in it, and you'll be a significant part of the church. Amen. So I really wanted that word because I was searching for the right church. Because I always come to the evening service, but I wanted that confirmation from God, like, where do I belong? You know, that was very encouraging. And I definitely believe that prophecy, God is going to use our church, our hills, our family in a mightier way, for whatever coming up. And thank you, guys.